B-Pod Studios.
Straightforward.
You lose too, big boy.
No holds barred.
I'm starting to think this guy's a con man.
Sports talk.
I got it. All right, I got it.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And I truly believe that. We'll be back here for Game 7.
You said that you'll be back here for Game 7.
We will.
What gives you the confidence that you'll
because
win game
we
seven?
Will.
All right, big fella. That's Blue Jackets coach John Tortorella making a guarantee after his team loses on Saturday night in an epic, great Stanley Cup playoff game on Saturday night. What a tremendous night of hockey that was. Now let's get to the Bruins. And as we come off the Celtics, it leads to Maz's Rodenheiser take, in fact.
Yep, hot takes brought to you by Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Get it? Hot takes, Rodenheiser Heating.
Well, maybe it's a cold take.
Yeah, there you go. Serving Metro West for over 90 years. Proud sponsor of the Patriots. Here's what struck me over the weekend watching these two teams. You know what the difference is between the Bruins and the Celtics?
What is it, Anthony?
The Bruins have balls. That's the difference. Look at how those two games went. The Celtics get a 12-point lead in the second quarter. Milwaukee hits back. Okay, the Celtics hit them. Milwaukee hits back. You know what the Celtics do? They cower. They don't fight back. They don't know what to do. The Bruins have leads of 2-0 and 3-1. Columbus hits back. Now you get a 3-3 game. And you know what the Bruins do? They come back and win the game in regulation. They don't go to overtime. They show you grit. They show you fight. They show you competitive character. And so it was, to me, it was impossible not to contrast those two things. I said this in the exchange this morning. When that thing started to fall apart in the third period, I went, just get through the third period. Get it to overtime. You're not going to win this game in regulation. Just don't lose it because you're under siege here. Just get through the period and get it to overtime. Take the break at the intermission there. Catch your breath and come out and win the game then. And they won it right then and there. Like, I don't know how you can't be impressed with how that team continues to plod on. They fight. The Celtics don't.
That's been their calling card the whole year, the Bruins. Resiliency. They got all the injuries they dealt with for long stretches with Bergeron and Chara and McAvoy and everybody else. They've always fought back, and they did again on Saturday. That being said, I didn't want to see that game go to overtime because I thought it was going to be a guaranteed loss. Holy crap, that last 8 minutes. It took like 15 years off my life.
That was tremendous, wasn't it?
That was unbelievable. Oh. Absolutely great theater.
Individual thoughts. Was Bruce Cassidy justified and vindicated in his management of David Pastrnak, given that Pastrnak scores the last two goals of the game and plays a full load in the third period and all of that? Is Bruce Cassidy the winner with David Pastrnak there?
Generally, yes. Yep. Generally, yes. Not totally perfect, but I also think they got through to Pastrnak in between games and told him enough with the stupidity, just make the simple play. And it worked. Because there were a bunch of times where he got the puck along the wall and just shoveled it back behind the net. He did it over and over. He just made simple, smart plays. Nothing stupid, and when the opportunity was there to score, he scored. I mean, really, it was a simple approach.
So I think Cassidy absolutely deserves credit for sticking with the guy, keeping his head above water, not burying him, and getting results from him in the third period. Absolutely, Cassidy deserves credit for it. There is still no one can convince me that Pastrnak deserved to be on the ice for some of those shifts that he got in Game 4 back in Columbus when he was turning the puck all over the place and creating odd man rush against after odd man rush against. Cassidy should have pulled him back more in Game 4. That doesn't change. So I'll never change my mind on that. Pastrnak killed him in Game 4, and he should have been managed more tightly in Game 4. But is the side benefit that you still have him and you still can get what you got out of him on Saturday night? Yep.
Yeah.
Sure. I'll give that to the coach. I think the biggest change was what Maz said. They played smarter, and he played smarter. You know, you could tell on the power play that they were more conscious of protecting the blue line and getting back on the blue line and not sort of overcommitting and exposing themselves to those odd man rushes on the power play. That was clear just in how they – just their aggressiveness at the blue line.
Yeah, even Marchand was more careful out there.
No question.
Yeah, he was. He was more careful when he was out there.
And there were so many times, Maz, you're right, where I felt Pastrnak had the puck on the wall or near the corner, and all he did was shovel it behind the goal line. And it's like they got to him. So good job. Good job by Cassidy and the coaching staff for sticking with the guy and getting more out of him and all of that. So, score another one for Cassidy. I thought they gave him too much rope in Game 4 in Columbus, and I'm never going to change my mind on that. But more problems spring up. How do you feel about the captain right now, Murray?
Holy crap. I love him. We all love Zdeno Chara, but he has now become a straight-up liability. I mean, he can't get the puck out of their own zone. He almost cost them on Saturday night. He did.
Foligno undresses him for that breakaway that Rask stones him on.
What'd you say? He's 42 looking 72? It's that. It's getting worse by the night.
He got, you know, at the end of the game, he... there were two different clearing chances they had. At the very end, in the last 30 seconds, Chara had it on his forehand.
He did, yep.
On his forehand to easily clear the puck down the ice. He gets poke-checked off the puck. Next thing you know, Atkinson is hacking and whacking right on the goal line, and Rask saves his ass. Then Marchand blew a clear on the backhand that led to Charlie McAvoy almost breaking his foot. Okay, so those two guys, you've got to clear the puck. You've got to be kidding me. But Chara himself, ooh, it's getting scary.
It is getting scary. It really does. It just feels like the whole thing's moving too fast for him. Like, you know, you got him on the ice there at the pivotal time of the game. And again, on a penalty kill, I still think that in theory he should be one of the more valuable guys in the league, for crying out loud. But when you have it in the defensive zone inside of a minute to go and you have it on your stick, you got to get that puppy out of there.
You've got to be kidding me.
I mean, that one is just flip it up in the air and get it to center ice. Just drop it right in there. And, like, Murray's 100% right. It's terrifying with Chara.
Okay. So that's a problem that's cropped up. Let me ask you this, because this is the first time I felt this in a long time. And I was there in the building. It wasn't on TV, so I don't maybe that's a different sort of experience. It is. But I swear to you, I bleep you not, that there was a point late in the second period, early in the third, where I looked at Rask, and I watched the way he was playing, and I said to myself, this guy's about to carry you. Like, I feel good about him, confident in him. This guy's dialed. I'm about to ride Tuca. I'm about to get on the Tuca train. Like, I felt that way. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, the actual, you know, I mean, and I'm able to call it as I see it when he plays well and tell you that he's played well, and he has played well this entire postseason. I think he's been your best player, probably, and a big reason why you're here, and he's been good. But I never felt it, Murray. You know, I just...
There was a legit Tuca buzz in the building, and I think he was, like, pumped up that people were chanting his name. There was something to that Saturday night. I was there, too. It was kind of ridiculous.
I felt like Tuca time. Like, I felt like, ooh, we got the guy. We got the hot goalie. He's controlling this game. He's playing so calmly and so in control, and he's in the heads of the other team. And I, for the first time ever, I felt like we got the guy. We got the goalie. We got the hot goalie. We got the guy. And then they scored three goals in the last 8 minutes, and the first one was that fluky one off the side. So I don't know. But that's how and then he totally saved your ass in the last minute. I think he had another brilliant night. Another way of saying this is those three goals in the last 8 minutes didn't – I don't think it changes my mind.
Me either.
I still think we got the guy.
Well, it's because of the saves on Atkinson.
Those are – game-saving, huge-ass saves. After that Char giveaway, the Atkinson save, that is balls.
So the one with Foligno that you talked about earlier, when he made that one, that's when I started to say, this guy's off the charts right now. And that's about the point where NBC showed the stat that said, you know, he has stopped the last 50 shots or whatever the hell the number was. I don't remember what it was. Because he really had not allowed, I think it was 45 shots.
Here it is.
He hadn't allowed a legitimate goal since game two at that point.
Gasper broke him out. He had 23 saves after two periods, and at one point, the Blue Jackets had scored one goal on him in the last 127 minutes and 18 seconds, and that one shouldn't have counted.
Correct.
Right. That was the Panarin went off the net.
So that was about the point where I said, wow, this guy's been awesome. I mean, because, again, it was the fluky goal in Game 3, and then, you know, he locked him up the first two periods, and that save on Foligno, that was a great save.
So Carlo gets his pocket picked, bad turnover. He saves it on Atkinson in the second period. Chara gets just completely undressed.
Oh, I get it backwards.
By Foligno, right? I think it was, I think Carlo's turnover led to Atkinson.
Correct.
And then Foligno undressed Chara in the second period. Then in the third, the save on Atkinson doorstep after the Chara giveaway. Like, I mean, do you all feel it? Am I wrong?
No. He's the best player in the series.
Should I hold the bad angle goal against him?
Not
the replay goal against him?
No, because he was moving where the puck was going. That's why, to me, that one's a little different than someone jamming it in and typically inside the post. The puck was going to the front of the net.
Okay, let's get back to this. I want to stay on time here because we have a special guest coming up. Mike Milbury, Mike Milbury will join us next here on Felger and Maz from the Garden. We'll get to your Bruins calls as well, so don't go anywhere.
Felger and Maz. Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
That's idiotic.
Now back to Felger and Maz on Boston's home for sports.
Left circle now to Brusk. Centered. Krejci shoots. He scores!
Went off Grizzly's stick, and it does look like it went in the net.
It is confirmed the puck crossed the goal line, therefore we have a goal.
There it is. The Blue Jackets are on the board.
Wow.
Pastrnak far side, into the far circle, shoots, he scores!
Here's Matt Duchene into the right wing circle. The Bruins end across to Ryan DeZingle. He shoots and scores! DeZingly-dingly-doo! Jackets looking for help, and a puck comes to Panarin. He holds it. High slot. Tuchin shoots, and he scores! Dean Tuchin put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo, and the Blue Jackets have tied this game at 3.
They score! Brad Marchand with a slam pass into the slot for David Pastrnak. He was able to angle it low. Just inside the near post, he squeezes it in with a minute 28 remaining in regulation. Bruins 4, Jackets 3.
At the end of the day, I think our guys are very resilient. On the bench, of course, you're upset with the call, but at the end of the day, most of the time, it's on those long ones, it's like, hey, whatever happens here, we got to be ready to go out of this face-off, whether it's at center ice or our end. Most of the time, we are. I thought we bounced back well from that call. We scored the next goal, seemed to have it under control. Clearly, we didn't. They made a couple of high-end plays, but that's our group. We're resilient.
We're back on Saturday night. Really great night at the Garden. Tremendous. You heard some of those Bobrovsky saves. That first save he had on Marchand before Marchand followed up.
Unbelievable.
Insane. And then he had another one on Johansson, I want to say, in the second period on a cross-ice feed. That was just, no one gets post-to-post better than Bobrovsky. I mean, he is just filthy. But that first goal to Krejci, that was soft.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, he got, you know, it was a change-up, right?
It was a change-up, but still, man.
Yeah, he had that earlier in the series, though. You know, and honestly, I even think the first Pastrnak goal, as great a shot as it was, short side like that, he was making that stop early in the series. You know, and again.
And you know what, Maz? Not just that, he didn't compete on it. You know, I mean, he got totally fooled or was leaning the wrong way. I mean, he didn't even
move.
Make a bid.
No. Went right by him. Pastrnak just whipped it right by him on the short side. And that one surprised me. I went, whoa. Like, because there was no chance of getting that goal in game one or game two with the way he was playing. And, you know, they caught a little break on the Marchand goal, right? The puck came out of his glove. And so then it popped out and Marchand fired it in. But that save? My God. He's still playing well. It's not like he's playing badly.
Well, is it possible the Bruins actually have an edge in net in this series? Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealer Expert Hotline. Mike Milbury joins us from Columbus, where he will be calling tonight's Bruins game. Mike, thanks for taking the time. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Nice day. Sunshine, finally.
Yeah, beautiful. You got to go to Columbus to get it. Do the Bruins have the edge in net right now, Mike?
Well, based on the last game, you know, for the first time, I think the Bruins saw a guy that was a little bit jumpy in goal. And, you know, John Tortorella tried to say this morning that he thought the Columbus Blue Jackets had dented Tuukka Rask. But, yes, I'm going to answer the question with, I think they have a slight edge in goal right now.
So, Mike, when Tortorella makes that kind of comment.
Can I hold you 1 second?
Yeah,
so the folks know what we're talking about. Jimmy, would you play that cut for us?
I think one of the biggest points in – in our last game, in game five, is that we dented their goalie. I think that was very important. I think they've dented our goalie. We've dented their goalie in that third period, which is very important going into game six.
So, Mike, when you hear that kind of comment and when the listeners hear that kind of comment, do you think Tortorella's worried that about what you just said, that maybe the goaltending in the series has tipped and the Bruins now have an edge?
I do think that. And Bobrovsky's been known to go a little squirrely. And he's been pretty steady, but, you know, that last game, he got beat a couple times cleanly by Pastrnak. And it was just, you know, you got to think that he maybe could revert to some of his old shenanigans and, you know, take one night off. He can't afford to do that, but that's in the back of my mind that maybe he was shaken up a bit.
All right, Mike, take the goaltending out of it. Size up this series.
You know what? It's pretty even, with the edge going to the Bruins in terms of the elite level players when they're playing at their very best, as they have in the last couple of games to produce offense, then the edge goes to the Bruins. But it's a team, Columbus, that's come together really well. I mean, you got to give Jarmo Kekalainen and their manager a ton of credit for putting his whatever on the line at the trading deadline and trading for upcoming unrestricted free agents and Duchesne and DeZingle and McQuaid. Already added, compounding his problem of having unrestricted free agents, Bobrovsky and Panarin. He might lose all five of them, probably will, but wanted to make a run at it. And then they stumbled until they finally had a meeting in Vancouver, you know, 2-3 weeks before the end of the season, and it all came together. And now they're playing like a Tortorella coached club. They play hard, they check hard, they try to take things away, they're finishing their checks, they're willing to block shots. I mean, it's been fun to watch this kid David Savard play. It's been fun to watch Seth Jones play. They're not going to go down easy, as you saw in Game 5. You know, they have a belief in themselves. And, you know, when teams come together like that and play as hard as they do, they're going to give you a fit. And they're going to need the great goaltending they've been getting from Bobrovsky. And they're going to need somebody like Duchesne to step up again, or Panarin, who was ineffective in game 5. But the edge for me still goes to the Bruins with their big guys when they're playing the way they can possibly play.
Mike, what do you see in Zdeno Chara's game right now?
He's been vulnerable. You know, he's playing a lot.
Is the game moving too fast for him, Mike?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, he's 42. He's not getting faster. And they have some – I think the faster team here for the most part has been Columbus, or maybe even the more determined team at times. But yeah, they have some skilled players. You know, Duchesne beat them, made a great play, and they scored a key goal the other night. And that's a little worrisome. But, you know, I still like having them in the lineup. You know, do they have to be a little bit more selective? You know, I see him around since I've been around. And he can't stay away from the rink. I mean, I would like to just tie him to his bed and feed him, you know, large portions of food, you know, to get his strength back. I mean, he looks a little emaciated when I see him. He looks like he's showing some tired. And, you know, sometimes I think he's his own worst enemy because he cares so much and he wants to go to work out every day, never misses an optional. You know, so the best thing that could happen from the Bruins' perspective, obviously, is to get this thing over with and get him a few days off. But he has been vulnerable.
Mike Milbury again, joining us on the Volkswagen Dealer Hotline. He's got the call of the game tonight on the NBC Sports Network. The management of David Pastrnak by Bruce Cassidy. Mike, how'd you feel about that? You saw it, obviously. You were there in Game 4 where Pastrnak was really just a turnover machine. And got all those shifts in the third period, even with them trying to preserve a goal lead. And, you know, I second guess that big time. I thought they should have stapled Pastrnak to the bench in Game 4 because he was hurting them. But Cassidy sticks with him, and the next thing you know, he scores two goals late in the third. So score one for the coach, or what are your thoughts on that?
I would score one for the coach. I mean, it's a risky business. He talked about his power play being risky, having the four forwards out there. But he said, I think it's worth the risk. I think he took the same approach to Pastrnak, that, listen, I got to go down with this kid. We got to get him through this, whatever funk he's in. I don't think he's hurt. I don't think he's got any kind of issues. I watch him very closely shooting the puck. He's shooting the puck you know, one timing the puck. I don't see any hand issues there. I don't see any problem with his skating. So it really what he's got is a case of the yips. What is he, 22? I mean, he's just feeling out some of the deep pressure of going into the playoffs in the second round, and he's had some ugly moments and made some bad decisions. And also, he's probably not single-handedly because there's Rask, but his offense has been indispensable, and there's no denying that. So I think trying to make sure that he keeps Pastrnak in the mix so that he doesn't lose his confidence, and I think that was part of the problem, is the risk you take when you put him out in those situations. But he felt it was worth it, and it paid off.
Mike, final question. Thoughts on Tortorella basically guaranteeing victory tonight?
You know what? We talked to him. We got the chance to catch him alone. And he said, you know, everybody's making a big deal about the guarantee. He said, I just believe we're going to come back. You know what he said at the end of the his press conference the other day? You know, there's a reason for everything. You know, I've heard that expression a million times. I wanted to know from him this morning, what does that mean to you? He said, well, you know, it was a difficult time. We came back. We had an opportunity. We missed it. It just meant to me that we weren't quite ready, that we had to earn it, and that we're gonna earn it in game six. And that's what I think he was trying to say. He wasn't trying to do a Mark Messier. You know, he said, I just wanted to show that I believe in my team.
You ever do that?
I never used the word guarantee. I didn't think it was necessary, and I always felt that I believed in my team. But I never felt the need to do that in public. But I think he said after the game five, he said he really lit into his team. He said, I wasn't yelling at them. I was yelling with them. I was sensing their frustration, and I was trying to take it out and get everybody to pay attention to me that, you know, we're going to come back in this thing. We're going to get it back. We blew some opportunities. And, you know, he's a feisty, competitive guy. And his team has played that way. I suspect they'll play that way again. And I don't know that he really meant guarantee coming back, but, I mean, he used the word, so he's got to own it.
Okay, Mike, thanks again for taking the time in the middle of your day. We do appreciate it, and we look forward to the call tonight.
See you, Mike.
All right. See you, guys.
Okay, Mike Milbury, join us here on Velger and Maz. We've held off the Bruins calls long enough. You want to weigh in on this series, on this game tonight, by all means. To you, right after Murray's update, also for Bruins giveaway coming up as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Velger and Maz.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They put 1 second out of the clock, so 1.6. Face off to the near side. The Jackets can't get it out in front, and the horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins off the bench to congratulate Tuukka Rask. He made a spectacular save to cement the victory tonight. David Pastrnak with a pair, which included the game winner with less than 90 seconds left. And the Boston Bruins have taken a 3-2 lead with a final score tonight of 4-3 in regulation. And they're going to head to Nationwide Arena on Monday for a chance to close it out.
And the game tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub on the radio side, NBC Sports on the TV side, 98.5 The Sports Hub with Judd Surratt. You heard right there Bob Beers on the call. If you are watching on TV, Felger and Amonte have postgame coverage on NBC Sports Boston. There's all your plugs to your phones, as promised. Adam in Rhode Island. Go ahead, Adam.
So Felger's got a CCM in his Nantucket Reds over Tuukka Rask. That is an amazing thing. But the reason why called is, I don't wear Nantucket Reds, but I've been getting at you for at least a couple weeks now, and Tuukka, and it's just nice to see you come around. That's all. So I'm Bruce Cassidy. I'm sure by now you guys have seen the video of the in between periods before third period of game four, where he's basically calling them out for being soft last year, saying it hurts in April and May. I mean, for me, that I've seen that je ne sais quoi that they've had since that period and on. They're rolling now, and we got full Voltron on the first line, so we're good to go.
Okay. I think that was before one of the Toronto games that they lost, if I'm not mistaken. The clip that came out over the weekend of him swearing at the guys?
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, well, go look it up. It's good. It's good, you know, fiery Bruce Cassidy in the, you know, between periods. But I thought it was one of the Toronto games that they lost. Not that they won. I could be wrong about that. But the locker room stuff, I mean, look, I think that stuff's easy. You know, in front of the team and yell and scream or whatever. And I mean, I don't know if it's easy or what, but that, to me, much more important is his management of guys like Pastrnak and that power play that was really killing him, you know, earlier in the series. And they sort of shored that thing up. They still went with the four forwards. They didn't change it, but they were all more conscious. You could really tell.
No, they were way more deliberate out by the blue line.
No question
about
it. Yeah,
you could see it. Again, I noticed it with Marchand. That's who I saw it with. It's like when he had it out there, he was careful.
And he stuck with Pastrnak and got results from Pastrnak. And so those are the things I give Cassidy credit for. The yelling and screaming, you know, any a-hole can do that. Phil in Malden. Go ahead, Phil. Hello, Philip. Okay, he wanted to talk about Tortorella's comments. How'd you feel about him guaranteeing Game 6?
So it didn't bother me. I think because I took it the way that Mike Milbury just said in the last segment. To me, that was, we're coming back for Game 6. We'll be here for Game 6 or 7. You know, we'll be back here. And I read that as, I believe in my team. I believe in my players. And that comment also that he made about how, you know, everything happens for a reason, to me was, we're being pushed now. This is part of our growth. We got guys on this team that, you know, no one's going to give you a Stanley Cup. And so I don't count Columbus out yet, by the way.
I've tapped out on Tortorella in terms of finding a little bit of what he does funny, like his whole act. But I don't think it's an act. I think he's a straight-up dick.
Yeah.
And I can't stand him now.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
I told you my 12-year-old watched the post game with me the other night. And no, I did not prompt him, I swear. And he said, Dad, this guy's a jerk.
He is. After what he did Saturday again, like being that, like.
Well, you know what? Jimmy, let's play. Here's 2 minutes of Torts. The whole thing was 2.5 minutes. We cut out two questions that really don't give you the flavor of it. But here's the full Tortorella press conference from Saturday night. He's just a bad loser. He's a baby.
Yeah.
Right? Go ahead.
It's been such a tight game for so long. What opened up for you there in the last 50 minutes? Was it just desperation on your part or more than that?
What's the question, Portsy?
What opened up for you there offensively? In the last 10 minutes.
We got some guys to play.
That's it.
We got some guys to play.
You didn't like the energy level for the first 50?
I've loved the energy level, but we have to make plays too.
How much did you just need to see a goal go in? Seth getting the one and obviously took the replay. What kind of lift did that give you just to see one go in?
You know the answer. Don't ask stupid questions right now, guys. Ask me some questions that mean something, not that you have the answer to.
John, you said you got some guys to play. Can they, that intensity that they had, that desperation, can that be created for 60 minutes in a play?
Absolutely. I have no problem with the intensity of our club right on through. It's just that we need guys being more creative and making more plays throughout a 60-minute game.
Can you draw on that last 10 minutes?
Absolutely. Not the last 10 minutes, throughout the game. We had a problem at the beginning of the third. After two periods, although we didn't create a bunch of offense, we didn't give them much either. The surge in the third, we came back. Absolutely. Things happen for a reason. We have chances to tie it again. Things happen for a reason. And I truly believe that. We'll be back here for Game 7.
You said that you'll be back here for Game 7.
We will.
What gives you the confidence that you'll
Because we
seven?
Will.
And then he stomps off.
Like a stern dad. Like, he's just a grumpy baby. I'm done with this whole thing. I found some of it kind of charming, some of it kind of funny before. After Saturday night, I'm out on this guy.
I'll tell you what. I don't have a problem with him saying, though, ask me questions that you don't know the answer to. I hate those stupid questions like that, too. Like, you know, how do you feel? You know how I feel. What do you ask me that for? You want to ask me something that you need an answer to, I'll give you that. Like, so that one didn't bother me. But he's a dick. I mean, he is. He just is. Again, I'm not telling you I'd want him as my coach. Some of what he says I like, some I don't. But that's who he is.
Jason and Melrose, quickly.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, Jason. Go, please.
One quick thing. I want to fast forward to 5 minutes and 34 seconds left in the third period. Chavez has the puck along the boards, has his head down. The thing comes flying at him from about 10 feet away. And one Bruin, you got 14 players and 8 staff on the bench. But one Bruin, everyone's looking at it, says one thing.
Okay, your phone can kiss my ass. Oh, God. Chara got lit up, and he's saying no one on the bench did anything about it. All right.
No, I think he's saying that no one yelled to warn him that someone was coming to hit him.
Okay. Because I couldn't hear a word the effing guy was saying.
Yeah, so, and look, someone else asked me about it. Like, how does he get hit like that and no one yells anything? I said, you know, who knows? I mean, you got me. Like, but honestly, I also think it's, to me, it's more about Chara than it is about the Bruins.
He's like a big oak tree out there. And people just skating circles around the guy.
I mean, and the fact is, he's a stationary target. He's huge, but you know he's not going to generally get out of the way because he can't. So, like, I'm, you know, overall, I'm pro Chara, and I've become more so of late. But, man, the last game really kind of pushed me a little. He is brutal with the puck in his own end sometimes.
Okay, coming up next, hashtag replay doesn't work. Okay, we can get into that. Turns out replay is now taking a steaming dump on a whole nother sport. That I didn't even realize. Well, I mean, the whole new chapter in why replay is helping to ruin sports, and a Bruins giveaway for you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Here's Werenski. Goes to Jones. A little bit out of his reach as Seth takes a shot. It's blocked by Joakim Nordstrom. Now another chance. Deflected in front. And Tuukka Rask makes a big, big save as Boone Jenner had the stick on the ice in the crease.
I'll tell you, that puck came really close to going in the net.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. In fact, they may look at this.
It actually got deflected. It looks like it's in the net to me.
Yeah, it went off Grizzlick's stick. And it does look like it went in the net.
And as the fans were continuing to sing that, Bon Jovi, living on a prayer, Blue Jackets might have got one here.
And they might be halfway there.
That's right.
In this game. They're down 2-0.
Blue Jackets might have had
a
prayer answer.
That's right. It could have been. Wes McCauley, the veteran referee himself, is not part of this. Let's listen in and get the call.
After video review, it is confirmed the puck crossed the goal line, therefore we have a goal.
There it is. The Blue Jackets are on the board.
Wow.
What a break for the Blue Jackets as they sneak one by Tuukka Rask. His own player deflected it, and it got inside the post. And it's now a 2-1 game with 9:27 remaining in the third period.
Hold on to your hat.
All right, so we had a replay decision in the Bruins game that they got right. They got right, I think. And that's probably replay where you want it. A goal that should be called gets right by replay. So it's sort of a bad example to play that. But you know how I feel about replay. I don't feel it works. I don't feel replay works. Even when it gets it right, I don't think it works. In that, well, I've said it a million times. It doesn't end the controversy. In fact, I think it's created more controversies. It doesn't always get it right. In fact, I feel it gets it wrong as much as the on-field refs do. I think replay gets it wrong either through stupid rules like you can replay this and not replay that. So I think that in some way, shape, or form, replay doesn't always get it right. In fact, gets it wrong as much as the on-field guys do. And it wastes wastes a ton of time in the process. And it's changed the total fan experience, too.
Oh, completely.
It's like you can never really...
You can't really cheer because you got to wait to have it looked at.
So that goal there, and again, they got it right. But I was in the building, and I was sort of bouncing around different seats. And when the puck was frozen along the post, I went to go switch seats. And by the time I got to my second seat, I thought the puck would have been dropped already. And the refs are at the penalty box with the headset on. I turn the guy to me, I'm like, what the hell? Like, oh, the puck might have gone in. And 10 minutes later, okay, the puck went in, and it's when you're in the stadium, they showed the replay maybe once, right? So they won't, in a lot of these stadiums, when there's a play under review, they won't show it to you. So if you're in the building, you're like, what? What just happened? Wait, what? It was just frozen on the side of the net. Now it's a goal? And what? I can't even see it to begin with.
That's how I didn't understand what the hell was happening on that hole.
And so, like, that whole thing has happened. And now even the effing Kentucky Derby? Did you see that? You obviously saw this. Now,
yes.
Now again, because I was at the game, I was oblivious. Because it went so late because of the Fakakta video review, they had to start the Bruins game on this cable channel versus NBC 10, right? And that
Correct.
Whole thing got all screwed up, right? It's like all because what? And then I went back and I watched the replay of the thing that the horse got disqualified for. Did you know that you couldn't leave your lane, quote unquote?
No. In fact, I thought that was sort of part of the strategy. Like, again, I'm not a horse racing guy. I thought you were allowed to kind of box other horses out.
I thought it was a strategy in any race.
Yeah, Rubbin's racing, as the saying goes.
Known to mankind.
That's what I always thought.
Since the days of ancient Greece, no matter it was people or horses or cars, I thought the whole idea was...
Get the hell out of my way.
But when you get the lead, everyone's got to get around you.
Correct. You box people out.
That's yep. So I thought every single race in any context, car race, horse race, people race... I thought that was the deal, that you got in front and were able to go wherever you wanted. Everyone else had to go around you. I had no idea that you had to stay in a lane in horse racing. And if that's the case, the only case where you can't change lanes is track and field when they actually draw the lanes.
Correct.
And it's less than a lap. You have to stay in that lane. Okay, so then why don't you just – this is now reviewable? I didn't even know there was a rule.
Me neither. I had no idea. I was like, what did he do wrong?
And now we're going to spend 20 minutes on it? And so you know replays ruining sports. Let me just, Jimmy, play this little post-game commentary from the Derby, if you will. And I'll tell you exactly what I mean. Okay, so just go ahead and play. This from the NBC Sports crew.
Did the right thing happen? You hate to see the best.
Stop, pause. How long was that pause? Okay, they've got the horse racing experts there who are in the horse racing world, right? And there's a pause. Did the right thing happen? Pause. It clearly didn't, and now they're going to have to talk around it because they don't want to bash the sport that they have a big rights agreement with, and they're going to have to tap dance now. But if you have to think about – if you think that long about the right thing happening or not, the right thing did not happen.
I mean, I still don't even know – well, go ahead.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Play.
Did the right thing happen?
You hate to see the best horse.
By the letter of the law, yes, the right thing happened. But Maximum Security, make no doubt, was the best horse in this race.
Absolutely the best horse. But when you look at it from the standpoint that what Luis Saez did or what Maximum Security did, what they did together at the top of the stretch, nearly caused a disastrous situation, then you can't really complain about
it. Because if you let that go on, Mike, it's the Wild West out there. It happens all over the track then.
So that keeps the jockey, quote, in a lane.
Absolutely.
So to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so that's the first time a horse ever crossed a lane?
I told you, I don't get it. I'm not nuanced enough in horse racing to know.
Mass, they've been running this race for 145 years.
It's the first time ever.
So you're telling me that's the first time one horse has ever boxed out another?
Please.
So, no, see, now we have replay. Now we have replay, and you can circumcise the mosquito. And this is what happens when you start circumcising mosquitoes. And with the answer there, so did the right thing happen? Pause. Well, by the letter of the law.
See, as soon as I hear the words letter of the law, I just say, well, then they made the wrong call.
This is why replay, hashtag replay doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. Even when it gets it right, it has changed the fan experience. It's changed the viewing experience. It hasn't made it better. It has not made it better. And again, if you're an old like I am, and you remember the pre-replay environment, it hasn't improved it. There is not less controversy. They don't get it right more often. They get it wrong, I think, about the same percentage as before they had replay. So there's still the same amount of games that we come out of the game and say they screwed that one up. Whether there's replay or not, it's the exact same amount of time. Maybe it's even more, for all I know. All I know is it hasn't made it better. Replay does not work.
I'm telling you, the letter of the law is like the most dangerous phrase in sports. Like anytime you hear it, you're like, bad news. They're busting someone's balls for no good reason, and they're making everybody look like a bunch of jackasses in the process. The letter of the law. How many times have we talked about that in any sport in when it comes to rules? Right? The offside rule in hockey. Well, by the letter of the law...
That's what replay does.
His toe has to be touching the ice. By the letter of the law, if you can fit a credit card under the spike, he's out at second base. Like, by the letter of the law, to me, it's about the spirit of the rule. What is the spirit of the rule? And if somebody violated it, and I say blatantly, but violated it, clearly, and it hurt the spirit of what's supposed to happen. And then it's in, this thing, I told you, I went, you got to be kidding me. I didn't connect it to replay the way you did, but what you're saying is that's the origin of it.
If they didn't have replay, they wouldn't have turned that back.
No, I'm not saying you're wrong, too. I just didn't make that connection because it's a legit point.
That's a replay issue.
Of course it is. And it drives me batty. Like, in this particular case, and again, I'm a casual, I'm a casual horse racing fan. I'm not sure I'd even say that, but I'll watch a race like that. That's a freaking joke. That is a joke.
Nobody knew that rule.
Because he came off the rail?
Yeah.
I didn't know you couldn't come off the rail.
I thought the whole point was to stick your ass in the other horse's face.
Every time, any race I've ever seen, the whole idea is to be in front and then make everyone else go around you. Yeah, I thought that was the whole purpose.
Yeah, smell my tail. Exactly right. Smell my tail. See it? I'm going to wiggle. I'm going to move my ass. You have to smell my ass the whole way.
So because we now have replay, for the first time in 145 years, that's now a thing. And now that opens the door. But not that I care because I don't watch the sport. But now any race, if they say, well, remember, what was the horse's name? Whatever.
Maximum Security.
Maximum Schmenzer there pulls out in front. It's like, remember Maximum Security in the Derby in 2019? Well, if we had to reverse that one because he drifted, then we got to get this guy for drifting. And now it's going to be a big drift fest. We're talking about horses drifting all over the place. And any horse race is going to have to go to video review. And everyone's going to be sitting there with their tickets and their Schmenzer in their hands waiting for the thing to be decided. It doesn't make it better. Replay doesn't work. It does not work. It has not worked. It doesn't work.
I mean, I know nobody cares. He's not going to run the Preakness now, right?
Right.
The owner's like pissed off. Yeah. He said, screw it. I'm pulling him out of the Preakness.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.